Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, one of the most important verses in what he taught, Luke 16 and verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. Everybody understands that. All of you are working in some office. You cannot at the same time work in another office. How can you be at 9 o'clock in the morning in this office and in the other office? You know that. If you try to switch like that, go every 15 minutes to the other office, you'll lose your job pretty soon. But people don't realize that when it comes to spiritual things, that you cannot work in two places. You have to choose whom are you going to serve. And he said there are two masters, and it's not God and the devil. Nobody makes the mistake of thinking they can serve God and the devil. He said very clearly, the last part of verse 13, Luke 16, 13, it's God and money, God and wealth. And if you don't see that clearly, there are two masters in the world. And the two masters are not God and Satan. No child of God will ever even dream of serving Satan. But do you think there are believers who are serving wealth? Sure. And trying to serve God at the same time? So many. I don't have to look around at anybody else. Judge yourself. God and wealth, God and mammon, money, are the two masters. It's not that you can, Jesus didn't say you can't have money. Do you know there's a lot of money that Jesus got? He never asked anybody, he never took a salary, he never asked anybody for money. But people were so blessed that they gave and gave and gave, and then Judas Iscariot. Problem was, the banker was a crook, but Jesus had a lot of money. And how do we know Judas' bag was so full? I'll tell you how. Meditate on scripture. He stole from the bag and nobody could discover it. Now, if there were only a few coins in that bag, the others would have discovered that Judas is stealing. But there was such a lot of money in that bag that Judas is taking handfuls of it out of it, and it looks as if that's not decreasing. They didn't have a clue that this guy is stealing. That's how much money there was in Jesus' bag. There's nothing wrong in having money. It was a savings account that he kept and used. But he was very faithful in using it. And he said, these two masters, I believe they are vying for our attention. God and money. Please remember this. And he said, there's only one way to serve God. Read that very slowly. I meditated on it for a long time and battled it and sought to live according to this. He will hate the one and love the other. He'll be devoted to one and despise the other. And I said, Lord, I want to obey your scripture. You mean I've got to hate money? Only then I can love God? If someone were to ask me, Brother Zach, how can I love Jesus with all my heart? And I'd say, you've got to hate money. They'd say, where did you get that? I thought most people would say, you've got to accept him and go to church and be faithful and confess your sins. I'd say, no, leave all that alone. First of all, you've got to hate money. That's not all. Jesus also said certain other things you got to hate. Then you'll understand what hating money means. Turn back to Luke chapter 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Again, the word hate. The same word he used in Luke 16:13. Do I have to hate money? Yes. Do you have to hate your wife? Yes. Do you have to hate your father and mother? Yes. Do you have to hate your children? Yes. Otherwise, you can't be a disciple. You can add money also there in Luke 14:26. If you don't hate all these things, you cannot be my disciple. I've seriously considered this for many, many years. And I say, Lord, I want to obey your scripture. I don't want to just run past it and without meditating and understanding what it means. Otherwise, I'm fooling myself that I'll be your disciple. I began to take these things seriously way back when I was baptized. I was baptized when I was 21 years old. I was converted when I was 19 and a half. I'm 85 now, so it's more than 65 years. And I've tried to understand it, and I've come to see it, and I've understood it clearly fairly early in my Christian life. I'm thankful. In other words, I look at it like this. I find illustrations helps me a lot. And Jesus used a lot of illustrations, so I try to use picture language to understand the Bible. So I use picture language here. And I see my love for my... The Bible says I must love my parents, honor my parents. The Bible says I must love my wife. How should I love my wife? Like Christ loved the church. That's one scripture. The other scripture here says I've got to hate my wife. So putting two together, then you get a balance. I see that my love for my wife and my parents and my children must be like the stars, like the light of the stars. It's very bright. In the night they shine like anything. That's how your love must be for your wife in the midst of the darkness of the world. That you love your wife and love your family members. But then in the morning, the sun comes up and you look out and you can't see a single star. Father has disappeared, mother has disappeared, wife has disappeared, children have disappeared. Christ is everything. They're there. The stars haven't vanished. They're there, but you can't see them. That's how I understood the meaning of this verse, or what hatred means. Money is there, but it disappeared, just like wife, children, everybody else. If you take this seriously, you'll be a disciple. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself. You can go to the best church in the world. You can attend this church and not be a disciple. It's a personal thing. I remember in 1967, I got engaged to Annie, my wife. But one of the things I told her as soon as I considered marriage was, you will always be number two in my life. Always be second. You'll never be first in my life. And I never want to be first in your life. Christ must be first. Always. And today, after nearly 57 years of marriage, I tell her the same thing. You will always be number two in my life. And I always want to be number two in my life. I never want to be first in your life. Never, never, never. I tell you, we have a very happy marriage. All these people who say you must make your husband and wife first in your life, go and ask them if they have a happy marriage. No. They yell and scream and yell at each other. In the early days, it was like that because they didn't have victory over sin. My life too. But it's disappeared more and more as we put Christ first and each other second. I'll honestly say our home, my home, is a foretaste of heaven. Never a raised voice, never an angry word, never getting upset with each other. It didn't happen overnight, but we got there. Because we decided to put each other second. I recommend that. Make your wife second. Put Christ first. Make your children second. Make Christ first. Make money second. Christ first. That's the meaning of hate money. Like you hate your father, mother, brother, sister, wife, children. And love God. Turn back to Luke 16 and 13. To be devoted one and despise the other. In the same way. One disappears in the light of the sun. And you cannot serve God